Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There is only one person in today's gospel reading who speaks. Only one person that Luke tells us actually said anything verbally. Now, it may be that the other people did in fact talk, but Luke records none of their words. And yet, even though Jesus is the only one that we see speaking, be assured that there was a lot said by everyone who was there. Because it can be that our actions can actually speak louder than our words. Nonverbal communication indeed speaks volumes. The way you look at people, the way you act, people pick up on those signals. And indeed, Jesus didn't need to hear a word of those Pharisees, the religious leaders who were there in the home of a leading Pharisee where Jesus was invited to a meal. He didn't need to hear them say any words in order to know what they thought about him. Because he saw the way that they were looking at him, intently watching him, just waiting to pounce on him, to catch him in something he did or something he said, so that they could show that he was not who he said he was, which of course was the Messiah. And so he cut them off at the pass, so to speak, and when they were watching him intently, as there was this individual that was there before him who was swollen with his body was swollen because of fluid buildup, that they were watching him to see what he would do. Would he heal this man on this particular day, which was a Sabbath, a holy day, a day in which you were to do no work? But Jesus cut them off at the pass and asked them directly, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? Well, what are they going to say to that? No, you should leave this man in his misery because it is a holy day. Well, they didn't say that, but even their silence, because they couldn't respond to that, showed their hypocrisy. And so, this gospel reading, which revolves around a miracle, is actually described by Luke as remarkably brief. Luke says that Jesus took the man and he healed him and then he sent him away. Now, we're not told if the man thanked Jesus profusely, but we can pretty much count on the fact that just as he had been pleading to Jesus, even if with no words, Jesus could see in his eyes the pain that he was experiencing. So also, he could see the gratitude in the man's face as he walked away. But really, this miracle is one part of this gospel reading. Most of it has to do with these religious leaders and how they were acting. Though they didn't need to say anything, their actions spoke volumes. And so Jesus says to them, after healing this man, which one of you, if your son or your ox falls into a well on the Sabbath, will not immediately reach in and pull him out? Well, again, what are they going to say to that? Of course they would do that. They would give no thought to the fact that it was the Sabbath day. They would help their son or even their ox because they were in need. And yet, they would deprive this man of the very same kind of help. But now Jesus notices another thing about these men, these religious leaders, how they were acting. They had been invited to a meal of a leading Pharisees, and he noticed how they jockeyed and they maneuvered for position, trying to get into the best place possible to sit in a position of honor so that they could be seen by their fellow religious leaders as someone who was important. And so Jesus, once again, they didn't need to say a word, but he once again takes up the position of speaking. And he quote, and he says to them a parable, taking off from the book of Proverbs, and particularly the passage we heard this morning in our Old Testament reading. He said, if you are invited to a wedding, do not take a position of honor. Because if you do, someone who is in a higher position than you may be invited by your host to take that very place, and then you will in humiliation be relegated to the back. But rather, when you enter, take the position in the back. Sit in the back. So that way, the host can come up to you and say, friend, what are you doing way back here? Move up higher. And then as you are escorted by him to the front, you will be honored by all. Jesus says of this little parable that he tells them, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. This is what Jesus was trying to show these men, these religious leaders, who thought nothing of other people, not only their fellow religious leaders, but also someone who was in need, the man who was in need of healing. They rather thought only of themselves, how they could be thought of as honorable in the sight of others. Jesus tells them that you need to cut yourself down a few notches, because you are not thinking about God and you are not thinking about others. Now, how can we exhibit this kind of humility? Well, Jesus actually shows us how. Paul gives us a remarkable description of this in his exhortation to the Philippian Christians from chapter 2 of his letter. Adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. Jesus Christ is Lord over all. Jesus Christ is actually above us all. He alone has the right to say, all of you are below me and I am over you. And yet what he did is not exalt himself. He rather humbled himself. First of all, by becoming a human being, by being born even as we have been born into this world. And secondly, in his ministry, where he thought not of lording it over others, but rather his first thought was always of others, how he could serve them. And of course, ultimately, this is all culminated in his giving over his own life into death. He became obedient, the Apostle Paul says, obedient to his heavenly Father by pouring out his life in sacrifice on the cross for the sin of the world. Jesus Christ, the Lord of all, humbled himself. Now, it's apparent, isn't it? It's clear what Jesus is teaching us in the gospel reading today. We need to cut ourselves down a few notches. You and I need to humble ourselves and not think first about ourselves, but to think first about others. So it's, in a sense, very easy. It's very clear what he is telling us to do. But actually doing it, not so easy. Us thinking of others first and ourselves second, not easy at all. And of course, there's a number of reasons for this. We have our own needs. There are things that we need ourselves, that we need help with, from God, of course, and also from others. But, and we also have our own expectations. There are certain things that we expect to happen in our lives for the benefit of our, for our benefit. And then, of course, there are those things that we want. This is not necessarily bad, but there are things that we want, and we want to get them. And so it ends up to be that in our lives, we may be consumed by all of these things, even if they are good things, things that we need, even things that we want. But we think about those things and how we need them, and that blinds us to the needs of others. It blinds us to the fact that we are exalting ourselves instead of humbling ourselves in order to look out for the needs of others, to see how we can help and serve them. And then when we are exhorted by our Lord to be humble, what do we end up doing? We think, okay, well, I got to do this. I have to bring this about. And that is completely missing the point, because we cannot do it on our own. Or think, or listen to the way that the Apostle Paul says it in our epistle reading today. The exhortation to walk worthy of the calling you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How are you and I able to do this? It is not by looking to ourselves. We simply cannot bring this about by our own ability or by our own desire to do so. Rather, we must look to Christ. We must look to Him and see who He is and what He has done. He is the Lord of all, but became the servant of all. It is only in Him and His humbling Himself, giving out over His life into death so that we may live, that we may actually live in this way. In fact, walking worthy of the calling we have received is nothing other than living out our baptism. We have been baptized into Christ. Our life is not our own. We are in Christ. And in receiving the Lord's Supper, we are actually taking into us the very body and blood of Christ. He is in us. We should not be looking out first for ourselves. We should take care of ourselves, but we should be thinking of others. And the only way that we can do this is because of Christ. We are in Him. He is in us. In this way, we begin to see others in the same way that He saw them. And how did He see them? He loved them. He forgave them. He gave to them. He served them. And then we begin to see all the people in our lives as people God has placed in our lives as opportunities. Opportunities to love them in the same way, to forgive them, to think of their needs before our own, and realize that it is truly the blessing that Christ our Lord has given us in humbling Himself to exalt us, seeing now the Ten Commandments not as restrictions on what we do so that others can see how good or important we are, but as freeing us up, seeing them as the guide for us living our lives in this humble and serving way. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.